And Sarah, if someone wanted to perchance download one of your songs online, how would they do that? Give us some instructions.
Okay.
Hold on one second. I am a singer outside of these things, these realms of walls. I just released a single on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon, all of the networks that you would normally do things on. And you can just search Sarah, S-A-R-A, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. It's a very unique name. And it should pop up. I have an EP called Go Out Fighting, and my new single is called Dance with the Devil.
All right, great. We have a recorded artist here. All right, good. Thank you, Sarah. I'm going to sit down again, so those of you in the back who can't see me should have got the good seats up front. All right. Went to the orthopedist yesterday, and he said, tell me, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I got pain in my right knee. And he says, so does it hurt when you walk, when you go up steps, when you sit, when you stand? I go, yeah, all of the above. He says, when does this especially hurt? I said, anytime there's pressure put on the inside of the leg, forcing it to the outside, shooting pains. And he grabs my foot and he goes, like this? I just about went through the ceiling. He goes, well, you have a torn meniscus. We'll order an MRI for you Thursday, see the extent of the damage. Come back to see me Monday and we'll set up surgery. So that's the way my day went yesterday. He gave me some pain pills. So I thought, this is awesome. They cause drowsiness. I'll get a great night's sleep. I took one at 9, I went to sleep almost immediately. Woke up at 11:30. I don't think I ever went back to sleep. It was terrible. So I got up this morning, and I knew I had an 8 o'clock appointment, 8:30 appointment. Both of them were terribly depressing. Both of them were, you know, appointments I wish I hadn't had. And then I got a text from one of my really good friends that his mom passed away last night. And she was like, when I was down here in college by myself, she was like my mom, you know. So I'm sitting there at my desk this morning getting ready to prepare for High Point, and I go, I am so depressed. You know, what have I got to tell these people about anything? What are we studying today, by the way, anyway? And I go, spiritual warfare. Okay, that makes sense. And a lot of times these things come against you, not like the exorcist. It's not like people's heads are spinning around or they're demons that are evident. It's discouragement. That's what spiritual warfare gets down to. Is Satan wants to defeat you and discourage you from doing what God wants you to do. And that's the bottom line of spiritual warfare. It's not this spooky vampire zombie things. It is Satan coming against you with events and circumstances. And yeah, I believe in demons and I believe he works through those. But generally speaking, it's going to be discouragement making you want to quit. So we got a little video here on battling Satan, and the bottom line is, don't give up.
So, life can be a little tough sometimes. Everyone needs help in life. What about you? Do you need help? You ever been sucker punched lately? I don't know, maybe knocked down, taking some hits in your marriage, your finances. Well, what about your job? It's time to get back up. Are you ready to fight back? Ready to start swinging at the enemy? Come on. Get back up.
The storm is coming.
Get back up. Good message. Paul puts it like this. He says, stand firm. Stand firm. He uses that over and over and over in all of his epistles. Don't give up. Don't back down. Don't stay down. Everybody gets knocked down in life, but you have to get back up. So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is talking about spiritual warfare, and we want to look at some of the theological implications of that as well. Basically, we said last week that there was this group of false teachers coming along behind Paul in almost every city he went called the Judaizers. And that they had several different points of attack, but last week they intimated that Paul was nuts. They would come along and go, well, we know what Paul said, but that's not the truth. And they would attack his character, they would attack his teaching, they would try to disrupt all that he had done. And so he hears about that in this town of Thessalonica, that he was there just 3 weeks, tried to plant a church in 3 weeks, and these Judaizers came along, these enemies came along, tried to disrupt what he was doing. And so he says, we see what's going on the surface, but let me tell you, this is from the enemy. Satan is the one that's behind this. So let's pick that up in chapter 2, verse 14. He said, we have a battle that we're about. He said, they displease God. He's talking about these false teachers. They're hostile to everyone, hinder us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. So notice that in the battle, the objective is to prevent you from doing God's will. That's the battle that we're facing. Back in Evangelism Explosion, Dr. James Kennedy used to always love to teach the lesson on objections. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. Had the largest, at one point, the largest TV ministry in America, the Coral Ridge Hour. And he loved to talk about objections that people have to the gospel. And he had very cerebral answers to these objections. Things like, you know, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe in hell, what about the heathen, you know, is the Bible accurate? He had very cerebral answers to all those, but he said, just never forget that every objection to the gospel is designed to prevent the presentation of the gospel. It's to try to derail you from what God wants you to do. And that's what Paul says here. He says, to hinder us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. I taught that same lecture all over the country, and I said, here's what I've learned. I've learned that if I get frustrated and I get flustered when someone brings up an objection, I'm going to hear a lot more objections. But I said, if I am just honest enough to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, I'll be glad to get back to you with an answer. But in the meantime, can I go on and share with you what the Bible says, how about a person goes to heaven? And when I go forward with the message and don't let the objection stymie me, I found out that I get fewer objections. And it makes sense. If that's the devil's scheme to prevent the presentation of the gospel, then if you go ahead with it and don't let it discourage you, then there's no use him bringing that up. So the battle is over discouragement, hindering God's work in your life. Let me just ask you the question. How does that play out for you? You hear an announcement on Sunday morning. Spreading the gospel, the labor might be for nothing. I think one of the biggest fears that we have in modern society is the loss of control. We try to establish control over things. It's kind of interesting. Let me give you three examples in closing. Do you know that since the New York Times published an article telling us that since stoplights have been automated, computerized, those walk, don't walk buttons don't work? It's going to change when it's going to change based on the computer. And yet the cities have found that it causes too much expense to go back and take out the walk, don't walk buttons, so they leave them in there. And you see people pushing those like crazy. One study said that in the cities of Gainesville, Florida, and Syracuse, those three cities, ABC News reported, they only found one functioning crosswalk where the button actually changed the light. All right? You know those buttons, the door open and door close buttons on the elevators? Well, with the American with Disability Act, that elevator door has to stay open long enough for a person on crutches or a person in a wheelchair to get in. That's law. That's federal law. You can punch that button all you want to. That door is not going to close before that time is elapsed. And you know, the thermostat that's there in your office, it probably doesn't do a whole lot because the whole thing is on a computer. I heard about a preacher in East Texas one time before he became pastor. He had a carpenter from another town put a dummy thermostat up in the worship center so that every time a little lady said, "It's cold in here," he could go up and twist the dial. And when someone said, "It's too hot in here," he could twist the dial. And studies have found that 75% of the complaints go away by simply twisting the dial, even though it's not connected to anything. Folks, we're not in control. We can't change the crosswalk. We can't change the elevator. We can't change the temperature. But let me tell you, someone who is in control, that's God. God's in control. Satan is against you, but God's for you and has the power to triumph. Let's pray. Next week, by the way, Doug Bischoff is going to be here, our next gen minister at the Loop. Great guy, Dr. Doug Bischoff, and he's going to have a great, great word for you. I'm going to be at an EE conference board meeting out of town. Father, thank you so much for all this wonderful group that wants to study the Bible, wants to know your word. Father, you come. Satan comes against us in all kinds of ways to discourage us. Sometimes it's physical, like my knee. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's relational. But he wants to make us give up. When we get knocked down, Satan wants us not to get back up. Father, give us the power to stand firm in you. In Jesus' name, amen.